lots has changed in the last 50 years, which is obvious, but there are some fun things about life that have changed. We want to talk a little bit about that and how things are a little bit different. One of the things that that we're going to talk about here is that retail stores are being replaced by the internet. That's one of the things that's on this list. The joys of shopping just isn't what it used to be a half century ago. While getting new clothes, music, or groceries meant making a trip to the store 50 years ago, today it's a few taps on your smartphone. The reason I'm bringing this one up first, Dan, I don't know if you saw the video that I posted on my Facebook page.
I did, yeah.
It made me so very sad, and I know that you know that place very well.
Sure.
As well. They've closed down the Sears at Six Corners, which is, you know, not very far from my apartment. And I have video. I put video up on my Facebook page with a little sad, you know, cry emoji. As they workmen were taking the Sears sign down the other night. They were doing it at like 11 o'clock at night. They were just the big Sears sign at Six Corners, Irving, Milwaukee, Cicero. And it's gone. And it made me really sad. I got very, very sad. I understand why. And I listen, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody. You know, I order from Amazon. I do. I get it delivered. And so I contributed to it. So I got no, I have contributed to the demise of one of my favorite stores that I went to as a child and was a family place that everybody went to. And I made everybody depressed on my Facebook page when I posted that. Except there were so many sad emojis that people were. And a lot of people, you know, I had some old high school friends, you know, who I still keep in contact. They all posted sad stuff on that because, you know, that's the Six Corners Sears that you went to. If you're on Northwest Side, you went to that Sears. You bought your school supplies there. You bought your new clothes at Sears. If you need an appliance of some kind, you would go to Sears. It was that one or the one on Lawrence. Is the one on Lawrence still open or is that closed?
I think that one was the last one in Chicago.
The one on Lawrence and...
No.
Six Corners?
Six Corners was the last operational
one. Oh, okay. Because I thought the one on Lawrence had closed. Lawrence and, what is it, Ashland almost? Not Ashland. It's further west than that. Or is it east? It's east. No, it's not east. It's west. It's west of that. It's like Lawrence in maybe California? No, Ravenswood. It's Lawrence and Ravenswood, right?
Right. It's kind of a weird location, right?
Yeah. That's another that one.
I don't think it's there anymore.
I think that one's gone too. But that's the one that I went to as a kid too. Like it was that one or the one at Six Corners. Six Corners more often.
1802 West Lawrence.
Yeah,
known as the Sears Chicago Ravenswood.
Yeah, that's Ravenswood, right?
Yes, closed in 2016.
Okay. Yeah, to 1800. I should have known that. I grew up at 1825 West Addison, so I should have figured that out. That it was Western or Western. That it was Ravenswood. But yeah, that was because you know when you know, and we drive past there. My parents and I drive past that, you know, that Sears all the time. Because we go to movies every Saturday, and we usually end up going to the theater. We're going to the Norwich this week, but we usually end up going to the theater in Skokie. And we take Milwaukee up, you know, to Central and then Central down, you know. We always pass it. And, you know, for the past few weeks, they had the big sale signs, and they had people outside, you know, with the, you know, wearing the sign saying, hey, come on in. It's everything is, you know, everything is for sale and all that stuff. And it really didn't hit home until I saw those guys tearing down the sign.
Yeah.
Tearing down the sign. So, very weird. I wonder what it's going to look like tomorrow, because we're going to the movies tomorrow.
Yeah. They still have the big signs that, like, and I always find this interesting, and I wonder how much money they make on it, but, like, it's, like, shelving units available for sale, you know, like, all the merchandise is out of there,
yeah.
So it's just, like, the stuff. And
the stuff that's left over, like, right. The empty shelves and
the
facade of things.
Right.
I wonder if they're selling the dressing rooms.
Yeah.
You buy a dressing room.
Put it in your
house. Put it in my apartment. Just, you know, just to have a memory of the Sears dressing room where I would try on my Sears clothing.
I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about how you can look into people's windows here. You know, if you have a fear of people looking in while you're changing out of your skivvies, you know, you can go into your dressing room now. And
we have some night owls, by the way. I just want to say, I turned around and I looked at the building across the street. There are a lot of lights on, you know, for 3 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday night/Friday morning. That's a lot of people being up. And there's a girl who's right across the right across the street who enjoys, you know, walking around in like robes or less. So
it's, you know, nobody Friday you work, you can sleep through Fridays at work.
Sure, of course you can.
I mean, we see it every time we come down.
Thursday night.
Hopping.
Now we take a different route since we moved. Because this, I pointed this out to you this morning.
Yep.
Because, you know, when we drove in and we were at Trib Tower, we went down Illinois. We would go down, first we would go off of the expressway to Wells, make a right on Wells, take that to Illinois, and then left on Illinois and Illinois to underground where we would park at Trib Tower. And there is what was voted, and I can't remember what the publication was or what the website was, but they voted it douchiest bar in the city, and that's Bottled Blonde. And we would pass that place, and it was douchey because they were all spilling out onto the streets. And Thursday nights on the way in, that was, you know, really douchey. But now we don't pass. We go a different way now because we're in this, you know, we park over here now. And so, but yeah. But we don't pass the Bottled Blonde anymore.
Yeah, we don't pass underground.
Right.
We don't pass the bar that's like changed 18 times, but it was once known as Junkie Couture, I believe.
Oh, right. And then the Irish joint right on Wells, as soon as you would turn. There was it's still there. It had the same name.
Oh, yeah.
Public House, something Public House, and it's Irish.
Yeah. And that's, of course, Snickers.
Snickers, the most popular bar on the planet. Hey, have you ever been to, this is my old stomping grounds when I was a barman, when I was going to bars. Did you ever go to Rossi's?
I've never been to Rossi's.
It's a pretty special place. If you like dive bars, that's a legendary dive bar right down here, right downtown. It's on State. And I've been there several times. When my friend Mike View lived at Marina Tower, we would end up there.
A-E-I-O-U View?
Yeah, A-E-I-O-U View. Vowel View, as we used to call
Isn't that what Depp called him on the set?
That's what Depp called him on the set of Private, what the hell's it called? Public Enemy, right? Public Enemies. All right.
And Mob Doctor.
Yes, and Mob Doctor. The stupid show. I watched every episode. All right, so other ways that lives have changed. We no longer really care about the retail stores anymore, and I feel guilty as hell. Like I said, I contributed to it, so I can't be hypocritical about it. I'm sad that it's closing, but I helped to get to the point where it closed. I'm sorry. Working no longer means heading into an office. If you said that you were going to work 50 years ago, that meant heading to a physical location outside of your home and chugging away until 5. Today, your couch is as good as an office as any. In fact, a recent Gallup poll reveals that 43% of workplaces allow employees to work from home at least part of the time. Dan, how come we're not, we don't fall into that? I don't have a studio set up in my house.
Well, but it is funny because people are like, oh man, that's a tough shift. And I'm like, I'm only physically there from, well, you know, formally like about midnight, you know, 12:15 to 5:45. Everything else I do from home, you know?
Yeah.
But
no, yeah. All the other, like the prep work and stuff. You know, we can, and we communicate from our houses,
right.
You know, like I'll send over an email with some topics and you'll text me with, whatever show prep we need to do.
Yep.
That you can do at home.
Yep.
And we're here. We prep everything here and then we do the show. And then we hang out for a little bit afterwards, but we're mostly out of here. And then the bulk of what you have to do, and you do a lot more work on this show than I do. You do a lot more work. Let me just say this. Dan is the hardest worker on the show. There's no question about it. He does a lot more work than I do. I'm a monkey talking into a mic is essentially that's what it is. But yeah, that's true. You get a lot more done at home than in the past, obviously. Now, a lot of these changes that we're talking about here are because of technology. Stores are closing because of it. People can stay at home more. How about this one, though? Exercise isn't just for fitness fanatics anymore. While it's not exactly like jogging or playing sports that were invented in the last 50 years, the global focus on fitness has undeniably increased in the past half century. While having a treadmill in your house in 1968 made you stand out, it's not uncommon for people to own pieces of fitness equipment in their homes. And there are now more than 35,000 gyms in the United States alone. So it wasn't just Jack LaLanne used to be just Jack LaLanne. And Elaine LaLanne, his wife. But now everybody exercises, and it's a big thing. I don't, but I'm happy for the people that do. So that's another thing we passed by on the way home, Dan, is that gym right by the Kennedy entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always packed.
Yep.
You can say 5:30 in the morning we're leaving or something like that, always packed.
You can tell when the weather's getting better is when they're running outside.
They're jogging around the facility. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about some ways that lives have changed over the past 50 years. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday morning. All of our Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday, where we celebrate everything funky and R&B and take your requests at 312-981-7200. We got You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real dummies doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on the biggest dummy of the week. And again, you can be a part of it if you want to read a dummy story on the air with us. Find a link to a funny news story, a dummy news story. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Dan will get a hold of you. We'll record it. You'll be on the radio with us, and on top of that, you'll get some Lou Malnati pizza as well. So there you go. Also, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. Straight Out of Context is when you listen 24/7 to this radio station. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it makes you giggle because it sounds dirty, jot all the info down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. Listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. Jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. Now, we're talking about ways that life has changed in the last 50 years. And many of these, of course, have something to do with technology. Here's another way that it's changed. Virtually nobody has a home phone. 50 years ago, a home phone was a necessity. The number of people using one today, however, is lower than ever. In fact, according to the CDC data, less than 50% of American homes have a landline, with most opting for cell service instead. Dan, you have a landline, right?
We don't. We couldn't actually get one.
Oh.
We tried to get one.
Mm-hmm. How can you not? I mean,
because my provider, AT&T, had sold every number in our area code to stuff like Magic Jack, apparently. And so there was nothing left, and they could not give us a home phone line.
Do you guys have connections and stuff do you have that, like Jacks and stuff in the house?
We do have Jacks in the house, yes.
Yeah. So it's capable. It's not the equipment. It's the numbers.
It's the number, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, we were like, you leave your cell phone on silent on accident, you know, somebody's trying to get a hold of you, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also, you know, it's the other thing about it, there are several reasons why people should have a landline, especially families
right.
should have a landline. I think it's, you know, I live alone and I don't have a landline, so it's, you know, and I've got my phone and all that stuff, except for when my phone froze up. I told you about that.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. But anyway, but I think, you know, landlines are, you know, there's good reasons to have it. If there's an emergency at home and you call 911, they know exactly where you're calling.
Right. And I know they're trying to upgrade the technology that now cell phones will, you know, they'd be better able to pinpoint.
Yeah.
You. But, you know, I mean, it's an emergency. You need it now. You don't need it, you know.
Yeah. So, but you know, I didn't have a cell phone until 2007. I had a landline all the way up until 2007, while everybody else had cell phones. But when I moved in with Heather, when we moved in together before we got married, we moved in together, she didn't have a landline, so I had to get a cell phone.
Right.
But I don't have one now. I don't have a landline home now. My parents do, and I'm glad that they do, actually. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, and I told you about this. My phone. The other, like, last week, when I was off, it happened on the 4th of July, in the 5th of July. I woke up on the 5th of July, and I had my phone on the nightstand next to the bed, and it was charging, and there's a blue light that flashes on my phone, and that means that there has been, some activity on my Facebook page or social media or something like that to let me know that. And if it's flashing green, if it's a green light that's flashing, that means there's a text or a message. So it was flashing blue. So I pick it up and I press the button that would turn the screen on, and nothing happened. And that's the button in the front of the on the front of the phone that just gets you, you know, it just turns the light, basically, the screen on. Then I tried the side button, which is the power button, and I held that down. Nothing happened. It was dead. I couldn't, any button I was pressing, nothing was happening. The screen was black. And so this was going on for a while, so I freaked out, and I left my apartment, and I went to my parents' house, and I rang the bell. My mom was freaking out, and I'm like, it's just my phone is dead. I need to be somewhere where I can maybe use the use your computer or whatever, and then we'll go to Verizon when it opens. And so we were hanging out. This is like 5:30 in the morning when I went over there. And then I ended up crashing for a couple of hours at their place, and it was still dead for a long time. We were just going to take it into Verizon and see what the hell they can do with it, you know? I tried, you know, everything. I couldn't do it. So finally, about 3 hours later, suddenly the screen kind of comes on, and it's got it's, you know, zero power. It needs to be charged. And suddenly something came on the screen. It's the first time I could get anything to come on the screen, pressing all the buttons. And the thing was, it said it was, you know, need to be charged. So I go back to my apartment. My dad gives me a lift back to my place, run up and get my charger, bring it back to my parents' house, and charge it. And it starts to charge slowly, slowly, slowly. And then it was, once it was up, you know, it was up charging, I could get my, you know, once it started charging, I could go back online. I could make calls. I could get texts, all that stuff. So, but just for that weird, like 3.5 hours. Now, my dad thinks that because I had it charging during a pretty brutal thunderstorm on the night of the 4th of July into the 5th, we had some pretty crazy. My dad is like, maybe it got overcharged. Maybe something happened, like, and it blew out your, you know, it blew out the phone for the time being. But it was, and this is what my takeaway from that is. And I told you this, Dan, how unbelievably reliant we are on these phones.
Yep.
I don't know my parents' phone numbers, like their cell numbers or their landline. I don't really remember them. I don't know your phone number. I couldn't, you know, I press a button. I, you know, it's your name and I press it. And that's the case with like everything. And it was really scary for those 3 hours to realize how reliant we are on these phones. You know, they go out for a little while and you freak. I had no connection to anybody. I couldn't contact anybody. I have since written down phone numbers, and I have them written down so that in case anything happens, at least I can try and call somebody. But it's a scary situation, man. It is scary how much we rely on these things. So anyway, that was a really interesting morning. It was a very interesting morning. So, all right, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and we'll talk a little bit more about how things have changed in our lives over the past 50 years. But the news is coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 floors above downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. And then all of our regular features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. In just a few minutes, we will hear from our dummies, and it's you, big dummy. Right now, we were talking about things that have changed over the past 50 years, things that are completely different, and most of them are technology involved, but we have a few more here that we want to talk about. TV has become a bottomless resource. A half century ago, there were only a handful of TV networks, even more unfathomable to some people. They actually stopped broadcasting at a certain point, meaning that if you were eager to distract yourself during a bout of insomnia at around 2 a.m., you were out of luck. Today, there are hundreds, even thousands of channels at your fingertips 24/7. We can even take our favorite shows to go with us thanks to our phones and tablets and laptops. And, that's interesting. I told you the story, right, Esmeralda, when I went back to my high school to sit in on a class with my favorite teacher that I had when I was in high school, and she was still teaching there. I went back because she was doing a film class, and she wanted me to, like, help out and do, like, an introduction. One of the movies that she showed that day was Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
And Poltergeist starts, and this was a few years back. This was like, I want to say 2011, maybe 2012. And I think these kids were juniors or seniors. They were probably junior. I think they were juniors or seniors, these kids. And I came in, did a little talk, all that. And then we started to watch the movie together. And if you guys remember how Poltergeist opens, the first shot of Poltergeist is a close up of a TV screen with the Star Spangled Banner being played, the national anthem being played at the end of the broadcast day, and then it snow. And the kids didn't know what was going on. The kids in the classroom were like, what is that? So we had to explain. We had to explain to them that at some point years ago, because Poltergeist was made in 1982, that the TV would go off. Like the the broadcast day would stop, and they would play the national anthem at the end of the broadcast day, and then the signal would go out, and you'd have snow. And so these kids were like, so we had to explain to them that, yeah, this when this movie was made, broadcast TV actually stopped at one point. So we had to explain, and they couldn't believe it. The kids were like, Like, yeah, there were three networks and a couple of UHF channels, and it all stopped at around 1 o'clock in the morning. So, That's another thing that's changed. How about this one? I like this one. Anybody can become a celebrity now. Celebrity used to mean a specific thing 50 years ago. Generally, it included some kind of marketable talent. Today, nope. A funny tweet, a cute Instagram photo, that's enough to land you a book deal or a TV show. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Watching live TV is a thing of the past. If you wanted to watch your favorite show 50 years ago, you needed to keep an eye on the clock to make sure you tuned in at the right time. But now today, thanks to DVRs and streaming services, you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want, at any time. That's true. That's true. Because it used to be, there actually was a meaning behind the term appointment TV. That was that was a real thing. Like, you had to go, all right. And then the other thing is, like, back in like the older days, if a movie, you know, showed up on TV, this was pre-cable. Like, if we didn't have cable, this was like in the 70s. Like, if it was the ABC movie of the week, and they were going to show, like, oh, if they're going to, like, I remember the big night, there were the three networks. I remember this night specifically. Because the three networks were showing, it was ABC, NBC, and CBS, obviously, were the three big networks. And they all had a big movie of the night, and it was like, it was either May or November, because it was sweeps time. So, NBC was showing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it was the television premiere of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. This is, you know, now it comes out on, you know, DVD, and you can watch it on cable, and then eventually, and it doesn't even, now they don't even show up on commercial TV. They don't really even show movies on commercial TV anymore. They do, you know, like FX will show them every once in a while. But you don't see it on ABC or NBC or CBS. They don't show movies anymore. But anyway, so that was on. And Gone with the Wind was on CBS. You know, and that was a perennial. Everybody watched it, and it was on, like, I believe maybe once a year. That's like The Wizard of Oz. You'd have to wait once a year. It would be on. Ten Commandments every Easter. They still show that one, though, which is cool. I think that's really cool that that's still an Easter tradition.
Yep.
That you
set aside your 5 hours.
Yeah. It's really weird because you watch Ten Commandments, which of course is, you know, it's not what we're celebrating on Easter, though. That's the other weird thing. It's the story of Jesus that we're celebrating on Easter, not Moses. That's the other thing that's just kind of, it's like, okay, but it's a tradition. It's religious. Let's just show something religious on Easter. So it was Gone with the Wind, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and ABC was showing John Carpenter's Elvis, the big Elvis movie that Kurt Russell was in. And that, you know, and these were events, man. You couldn't, like, if you missed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's not going to be on. You can't watch it 2 hours later. You can't stream it. Gone with the Wind won't be on for another year. And this was the big premiere of Elvis. And I remember, one reason I remember this specifically is because Elvis kicked ass. Like, the ratings for Elvis, it beat One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It beat Gone with the Wind. It was a big deal. And so my mom, of course, big, giant Elvis fan. And this was before Halloween came out. This was right. It was the same year. Halloween came out in November of 79, if I'm not mistaken. Dan, can you look up the TV movie Elvis when that aired? I bet it was May of 79, because that's you know, ratings time. That's Nielsen time. Sweeps. So I didn't know who John Carpenter was, but we watched it because it was Elvis.
February 11th, 79.
It's February. Okay. So yeah, I didn't know who, I did know who John Carpenter was then. Because it came out, and Halloween came out in 78, so I guess I did know who John Carpenter was. But anyway, we watched it, but you weren't going to get to see it again. So, yeah, I mean, TV has completely changed over the past 50 years. This is absolutely true. Talking on the phone has been replaced by texting. When was the last time you actually talked on the phone to someone other than your grandparents? Information that used to take a lengthy phone call to convey is now delivered via text. Esmeralda, how often do you talk on your phone? Do you talk a lot?
I only talk to my mom.
That's me too. I talk to my parents. That's it. Everything else is text and stuff. Is that how you communicate as well? It's like, hey, here's a little text.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. Except for my folks. I talk to my folks every day. That's it. What about you, Dan? Are you text?
I am text primarily, except for Eileen and my parents.
Yeah, and when certain occasions, you know, like I will, like work related stuff, I will call you if it's something, you know, important. But other than that, it's text, and that's, I think everybody does that. Answering machines are a thing of the past. Checking your tape-based answering machine used to be one of the most annoying things about returning from a vacation or even a day at work. Fast forward 50 years, you're lucky if someone even listens to your voicemail without deleting it. Dan, did you guys have an answering machine?
Yes, we still, yeah.
You still have one?
Yeah.
Is it electronic or is it tape?
Yeah, it's electronic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Digital.
It's digital, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, that'd be fantastic if you had one with the little mini cassettes.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Yeah, answering machines. MP3s have replaced virtually every other music medium. Over the past half century, we've gone through records, 8-tracks, tapes, CDs, and mini discs. Today, thanks to MP3s and streaming services, there's virtually an infinite amount of music at our fingertips at all time. Yeah. No more CDs either. CDs are antiquated as well. Although now, you know, vinyl has made that stunning comeback that people are really into. Now, this one I don't, and some of these I don't like. You know, these changes that have happened. This is one that I don't like. Paper books are being replaced with digital versions. I don't know about you, but I want a book. I want to hold a book. I want the book in my hand. I want to turn the pages. I want a regular book. Esmeralda, what about you? Are you a book person? Would you rather
have a book? Yeah, I only like books. I don't like tablets.
It makes me nuts. I want a book in my hand, like a book. And by the way, Esmeralda, if you were to download Underworld, it would take up all the memory on your tablet.
Jeez.
Underworld, not Waterworld, Esmeralda. Underworld, the Don DeLillo book. I love the fact that yesterday you thought I was the book version of Waterworld. I wonder if there is a novelization of Waterworld. I bet it's brilliant. Yeah, if you are heading out for a vacation 50 years ago and you wanted to read something, that meant loading your luggage down with pounds and pounds of heavy books. Now, thanks to the invention of e-readers and apps, all it takes is one tiny device to bring your personal library everywhere. Not a fan. And then we got a whole bunch more of these. I'll save some of these for another time. But this is one that another one that makes me sad. Milkmen are out of jobs. While your parents or grandparents have had milk delivered to their door by a milkman 50 years ago, today virtually everyone gets their dairy from the store. There's still milkmen out there, right?
Well, Oberweis has home delivery.
Oberweis has home delivery, right. In those lovely glass containers. Oh, that's sexy milk. I happen to enjoy milk. I don't know if anybody knows that. Boy. All right. Well, there you go. So we have more of these. And I'm going to save these for another time. But obviously things have changed. But it's fun to talk about the differences between now and then. 312-981-7200. Are our texts, is that up and running?
Still again? Down.
Still down. No more texts this morning. Oh, wait a second. Let me get John in here real quick because he's been hanging on. John, go ahead.
Hey, Nick. How's the weather up there?
All right.
Okay, yeah, we're still waiting on our storms to come through, I guess. Anyway, one of the problems that we have nowadays is our reliability on GPS.
Yeah, instead of like, because all you got to do is program it in. Sometimes it tells you to go to weird places.
Well, here's the thing. I went to Columbus, Ohio, a few years back for a convention. By the way, Ohio State, the football field alone should have its own time zone. Never mind area coders, they've got time zone. That thing is so freaking huge.
Yeah.
Anyway, the GPS kept trying to reroute me into a construction zone.
Ah, see. So we shouldn't rely so much on the GPS.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
And thank God I didn't have one of those. Can you imagine if you had a car where it drove itself?
Yeah, well, that's something we're going to have to deal with in the future, I think. All right,
yeah.
John, thanks for the call, man. All right, have a good one. Dan, how reliable is your GPS? It's pretty reliable, right?
You know what? We are the one in car is older, so that one is bad. But you know, the one on the phone is pretty solid.
One on the phone is good. Yeah, yeah. Remember maps? Trying to fold them up.
Your atlas.
You'd have the big atlas in the back of the car that you would have to look at. And then you would like get your pen and trace the way you're going to go on the map when you're going on a road trip. Yeah. Do they still have those GPSs where you can get like Snoop Dogg giving you the do they still have that?
I believe so.
Because I would have Snoop Dogg telling me where to go if I had a GPS. That would be doing. And what was the Josh Robert Thompson from a Craig Ferguson show? You know, we've had him on the show, but he's brilliant. He does the best Morgan Freeman of all time. He had a bit where he had he did a bit on his web show where it was Morgan Freeman telling you your GPS. Now you screwed up, and then it's anyway. I can't do it because I can't do Morgan Freeman.